Chill, keeping you company during the coronavirus.
Hello, this is Joey Page, and I present the Joey Page Show, bringing you the best in new and alternative music on Foo Bar Radio every Wednesday between 2 and 4. But you can listen to it whenever you like, because you're obviously not going anywhere. Make sure you stay at home, stay safe. Why not rearrange that kitchen drawer? Or sort through all those clothes that you've got to work out whether you're going to send to the charity shop or wear again at some point. And all these jobs can be done by listening to the huge back catalogue of my shows and all the other great ones on Foobar. I hope you're staying well. I'm coming to you right now from my evil lair, where I'm working on loads of new ideas for the show and keeping my eye out for all the great new music that's going on. Stay safe. Stay safe, all you cool cats and kittens, and listen to Foobar Radio, keeping you company through the coronavirus.
Marcel Somerville and Michael Payne on Foobar Radio.
It's our first guests, should I say, and they go by the name M.O.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good, thank you. How
it's
are
good
you?
To have you back. This is like your third time on the station, right?
Thanks for having us back.
No, not at all. An absolute pleasure.
It's a pleasure having us back. Yeah.
You're currently suffering from a bit of a hay fever,
yeah,
aren't you?
This is good actually for me. Like, I've been a complete write off last week.
Yeah. So yes. It's just as well that we're talking to you this week.
Yeah.
Bare nasally.
I just need some Puritan and I'll be fine.
Yeah. Is that your medication of choice?
Yes, I like Puritan because it sends me to sleep. So I take it before bed and I have a lovely night's sleep.
Nice.
And then it stays in my system for 24 hours, yeah. So I'm good to go.
And are your lovely night's sleeps few and far between at the moment? Because you're obviously busy.
Yeah, no, I get my 8 hours.
Yeah, by sure Hong Kong
yeah. Although last night I didn't.
How come?
I don't know, the hotel room just, it wasn't right.
Oh, right.
Bad vibes?
I think there was some bad vibes.
I've slept in a hotel with bad vibes one time.
I had
the maddest dream, and the dream took place in the very hotel room.
That's what Nadine said she had last night.
Yeah,
the hotel.
Yeah, it was in the Malmaison.
Oh.
And Malmaison means
no, they
like
are, they're
house.
Haunted. Yeah, they're
they
haunted.
They are definitely haunted,
they're
right?
Haunted.
I had the maddest dream in the Malmaison a few years ago, and I literally dreamt I was burning in the fires of hell, but in my hotel
wow.
room.
Bro, that's wild.
It was
that's intense, bro. That's
wild.
Intense.
But that's slightly
yeah,
like
I think I need
if you're dreaming and it's taking place where you are and it's very real, that's almost verging on sleep paralysis.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well.
Yeah,
it was very crazy. It did influence me to buy an iPad though, because there was an iPad in the dream. So
oh, okay, what?
Yeah, weird.
Apple. Sorry. Apple's the devil, bro. That's what I mean.
Steve Jobs was like. That Elmo gift.
I got another one.
With AJ Tracy.
Yeah.
How did you guys meet? Because obviously I know that the music scene is quite close knit, isn't it? Like
yeah.
Everyone.
Do you know what? He literally heard the track because he knew the producer. Mm-hmm. He heard the track and he actually said he wanted to jump on it. So when he got in touch with our label and said he liked it, we were like, yes, please.
Absolutely, yeah. You're all fans of AJ.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Yeah.
He's dope. So what was the hotel room about?
Oh, because I live in Sheffield, so I commute.
Oh, of course, yeah.
I come down every week, and I stay down here for the week.
Yeah.
Work on and then I'll
that's,
go home.
That's sick. So you're still residing in Sheffield?
Listen, I'm a northern girl.
That's nice,
through
man.
Through and through.
Yeah, City of Steel.
Yeah, even Nadine still lives at home. She's only Aylesbury, so she's like an hour out. Chanel's lucky because she's London.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, we both live.
Our label office put us in an apartment and she still will not leave. And
we're like, nah.
I like that. Wow. Is G'd up.
That is
G'd up. She just runs Ellsbury, isn't it?
I'm commuting.
Can't they need me? It's like New Jack City when they give out turkeys at Christmas. And it says that you've got a newfound interest for world music.
And where and when and how?
Global music.
I mean, I don't know what world music
means. What do you mean? Like, because we incorporate Afrobeats.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's kind of what the middle class term for Afrobeats is. World music.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I get it now.
People have different terms of what they like to call it. I call it like pop, R&B, urban. We're always going to stay in that category, but there's all different elements of it. So there are some Afrobeat songs on,
yeah,
there's some
like
garage songs
diverse.
On.
Garage, yeah.
Yeah, there's an old school garage song on, but it's all in the urban pop scene. Like, you won't ever just get like a straight pop song from us, or, you know, a house song from us. It'll always be in the urban pop.
Yeah. So what are you guys listening to at the moment, as far as who are MO fans of?
Okay, do you know what? Who have I just been playing on my iPad? Chris Brown's new album, Sick.
Yeah.
People don't like it.
But do you know what?
That's hard.
I just come across someone on Instagram saying that he was cussing black girls in one of his recent songs.
What?
He only fucks with black girls with nice hair.
Who? Chris Brown? Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Chris Brown personally, but
obviously
each to their own.
His music, though, is too thick.
Yeah, I guess
it might be horrible, but
no, totally. I guess it's in this day and age, it's about kind of separating the artist from the person, or the art from the person.
Yeah, but I don't think that's right, man. I really don't think that's right. Like, even like the Michael Jackson situation, like, if you believe it, I feel like that should be enough for you to not want to listen to him.
Yeah,
fair play.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that.
Like the R. Kelly thing.
Everyone's done it to R. Kelly already. Like the one we heard about R. Kelly, everyone's like, nah, I'm done.
If you truly believe something about someone, I don't think that you could really, truly like... Do you know what I mean? Like, I guess.
No, totally. I think you'll definitely feel differently about their song, won't you?
If you genuinely thought Michael Jackson was a paedophile, you're not really going to want to promote his stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I hear you. I totally hear you. It's mad, though, because, like, there are some artists that are, like, long gone. For instance, like, you know, you'll hear stuff about, you know, the James Browns or the David Bowies, like, long after they've been proclaimed legends but are sort of deceased a while ago. And even then, it's kind of, I suppose, it's harder because they're not even really around to kind of defend themselves.
Like, it's also what's in the public eye as well, like what we're being told about stuff like that, like what's going viral, what we're caring about. Like, there's loads of stories about different artists, not just Michael Jackson, but we're not hearing about it virally, so it's like,
this is very true.
I'm not being rude by the phone, I'm just looking at my last five down.
No, yeah, tell us, go on, reel them off.
Nave Smalls.
Yes.
His new stuff is sick.
Yeah. He's just released a new EP, hasn't he?
Yeah, and a new one with Tory Lanez on it is sick.
Yeah.
Do you know who is still smashing it? Western are smashing it.
Western are some of the best songwriters on the planet.
Hailey is something else.
He's a great songwriter.
You can get a session with Hailey.
Yeah.
Obviously, Steph London, she's smashing it. Mm-hmm. Always J-Hoss for me, like, if I could collab with anyone in the UK.
Yeah. Well, it's been amazing chatting to you guys.
Thanks again for having us in.
I hope we can get you in for like a fourth and a fifth and
please
a sixth. I hope you always come through. I hope you don't ever get too big for food.
Keep on inviting us, please.
The Jack Mate Show on FUBAR Radio.
Yes. FUBAR Radio, strongest fucking radio on the strip with myself, Keen Timmy, and friends. Get yourself a head fucker while you're down here, and don't forget to boogie on the dance floor. Shout out to all the girls who are down here in London tonight celebrating the hen party.
That's amazing.
I'm out of breath.
Oh, that was so good. So good.
That hurts so
much. Anyone been on a lads holiday? So, Keegan, basically we like to do a play.
Okay.
And basically whoever writes the play, this week it's been my go. The other guys haven't read it, and they're going to be blind reading it, and I've made us all a character within the play. So, we're just playing ourselves this week. But, yeah, we're going to go for it. I've written you in the play as well, so if you could just read off of...
That's fine. It's not Jack's tales, but...
It's Tom's Tales, usually, and it goes a bit like this.
There's a quiver in his quills, and drama, and he's gonna ride a thrill. Tension, and to far away places, twisting trails, pull up a pew.
Tom's Tales! Jack's pantomime!
So here we go. I will narrate it, and I will also play myself. Everyone in this room is playing themselves. Jack, Will and Tom are sitting around a table in Chili Beers, enjoying some festive drinks and celebrating the success of their radio show.
I tell you who we need to get on the show next year at some point. Spencer FC. I love that fella.
Oh yeah, we know you do, Tom. You never shut up about him.
Oh, I love him too. I'll see you when I see you. Don't go aging.
Oh, fuck off, Will. That's not even his catchphrase. And I should know, I've got all of his T-shirts.
Lads, it's Christmas. Let's not argue, come on.
I totally agree with you, Jack. Let's exchange Christmas gifts. I'm literally so excited!
No, I'll cut to the chase, Will. I got you some E45 cream. Yeah, you've already had that. And Tom, I've got you a season ticket for Newcastle United.
Good. I thought you got me a meet and greet with Spencer.
Well, I look like a twat now. I think I've ever spent on you two.
What did you get us, Will?
Will pulls out a big lamp and places it straight down on the table in front of Tom and Jack. It's shining a bright bronze.
OMG!
MJ! Well, you didn't.
I bloody did, mate. Anything for you. A magic lamp.
No, I couldn't give a shit about the sodden lamp, you twerp. You put it straight down my pulled pork pizza.
Tom, you're an ungrateful guy sometimes. Will's got us a bloody magic genie and a lamp.
Yeah, haven't rubbed it yet, have you? How do you know there's a magic genie in it?
He's behind you!
Ha, ha, Bantz. A classic panto shout, up there with the best.
No, literally, Will, there's a genie behind you. It is revealed that stood behind William is a genie. He is Irish and full of charm.
Hi, I am Cian the Genie, and I am a bloody genie.
Yeah, we got that from your surname, mate.
Shut up, you bitch. I might be a genie, but it doesn't mean I can't slap you about. Laugh.
I like him already. Nice one, Will. What a great present. What great present, Will.
I have the power to grant you 3 wishes each. Make it quick and make it good, because you only get 1 wish. So what do you want?
The boys start to realise that they only have 1 wish each. This is actually fucking happening. A wish each. What will they wish for? Find out literally now.
Right, my wish is to meet one of my favourite online stars in person.
You've already met him, mate. Ain't that right, Jack?
Exactly, Tom. I'm right here, Will.
No, not you this time, darling. I want to meet our Facebook legend, Cian Tomy.
Tom and Jack look at each other questionably, and even the genie looks confused. Are you sure about this, Will?
Hell yeah. I'm a big fan of that guy. I'd love to meet him for, like 1 minute.
I mean, you can wish for literally anything right now. Are you sure you want that?
Oh, I'm sure as I am good looking.
Ridiculously unsure, then.
Oh, for fuck's sake, Will. This genie here is Cian, right? You've already met him. You've wasted your Christmas wish.
You are honestly pathetic, William.
Oh, bollocks this right up the wall.
How can you not tell that's Cian?
I mean, I haven't even fucking dressed up.
Nah, I knew you were Cian. I meant, I'd love to meet Kraskel. I've just got the names mixed up. Good. Sorry, Cian. No offence, mate.
No, nothing taken.
With 1 wish down and 2 to go, Jack gets ready to request his Christmas plea. Genie, can I please for Christmas have 1 million subscribers?
1 million? That's cute, but yeah, sure.
A puff of smoke appears above Tom's crushed pulled pork pizza. Soon after, Jack checks his phone to reveal that he does, in fact, have 1 million subscribers. Oh, nice one! Thanks for that, Genie.
Right. Now you, Tom, what do you want? Probably something creepy.
No, not that creepy. Just a little bit awkward, shall I say. Can I write it down and give it to you, Genie? I don't want these guys taking the piss after they hear it. I'll never live it down.
Fuck me. I've heard this show before and thought these screenplays were long-winded, but actually being in one seems twice as long. Write it down, Tom.
Tom writes down his wish on a piece of paper, and the genie reads it. Shortly after, the genie's expression changes. He seems quite disgusted.
You've got to be kidding me.
Look, I didn't judge Will on his shit wish. Just grant it.
Please change your wish. It's literally...
No, that's...
You did judge me. Let me speak, Jack. You did judge me quite a lot, to be fair.
Please change your wish. It's literally disgusting.
Why is it disgusting? I've always wanted one night with her.
One night with... What? What's he wished for, Genie?
He wants one night with Emily from the videos.
He's dropped a clanger there, Jack!
I don't think he realises, Will.
She's a bloom and hottie, guys, and I find her very, very funny.
Are you going to tell him, or should I, J-Dot?
Right. Well, you asked her.
Cian is now naked. He has an erection.
Fuck it up.
Bend over, Norris.
Oi, Tom! He's behind you! And that concludes this pantomime guide. I think we can all agree this has been the most panto ever. Good. What do you think of my panto then, guys?
Good.
What did Emily think? I bet she hated it, didn't she?
It was a bit creepy.
Yeah, I had a feeling you'd hate it, Emily.
Yeah.
Bitch.
Fuck
you. You two did not get on, did you?
No, we didn't hit it off. What about you, Will? You like that?
I really enjoyed that. A big thank you to Kian for coming. Yes.
Oh, guys, thank stage. You so much. That was thank so you. Kind of you.
All the way from Ireland.
All the way from Ireland.
Just for one day.
Just for tonight.
Just maybe we'll
make it. I feel like I do want to apologise, Kian, for one thing, though. When we were out, we had a little walk around London, didn't we? And we had a little look at the sights. And then I got this little app, because I know Kian's a fan of Banksy. We found one on the map. We thought we'd go to it. Went on the tube.
We turned
went
up.
All the way there. A new build thing built all over
fucking
Banksy.
Wow. Ian Boldsworth.
Joined by Christopher Biggins. Clearly. We, do you know what? We just had a chat, didn't we?
Had
a
yeah, nice
I
had.
Nice.
No, you.
No. Oh, well, yeah, you so I no, went before. You oh, played, right, yeah, before yeah. You, I came on. I was in the green room listening to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. I was complimenting
Star
you.
Star Trooper.
Stormtrooper.
Stormtrooper.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing.
It is.
What's the issue with that?
You're serious, though, are you?
Yeah,
no, absolutely. I built an R2-D2. You know the droid R2-D2.
Why would you do
that's
that?
That's my question. That's what I said. Why?
I mean, it's really bizarre.
It's not.
Why is it bizarre?
Are you fucked up? Is it sort of
there's a degree of that, but that's why. I'll tell you the reason that I did it.
You're obviously a fan.
Yeah.
I didn't have to get reference pictures. I didn't have to get somebody to explain to me what it was. Yeah, I'm a fan. Yeah, I totally am. But I'm not. Do you know what? I've had certain fandoms in my life, one of which ties into you, actually.
Yes.
Very much so. So Star Wars, certainly.
Yeah.
Rocky Horror,
oh,
certainly.
Yeah. Just jump to the left.
Big fan. Yeah, and it
a
was...
step to the right.
The thing with Rocky Horror...
Put your hands on your hips.
Well, do you know why this, is,
your knees
do you know why this is making me laugh so much? I'll tell you why it's making me laugh. This is genuinely true. For a long time, my go-to video on YouTube, if I was feeling even a little bit low, which is one moment in a video that I've certainly spoken about on here. Me and Ed, I used to be a double act. Me and Ed used to watch this so often, and we would scream every time. It was a Rocky Horror anniversary show. I can't remember which one it was, but it was Adrian Edmondson was there, and
oh, was the Royal Court?
I'm not. It might have been the Royal Court.
Yeah,
it was a few years ago, about 5 years ago, yeah. So like maybe 35th anniversary, something like that. And you did the time warp at the end, and you were doing the narrator, and there was the most heartwarming and lovely thing happens in it, which is that out of all the people on that stage, O'Brien aside, because Richard was there, and I think Patricia Quinn was there as well.
Yeah.
I think Little Nell may have been there.
She was.
You know? But that was kind of it from the original cast of the Royal Court show.
Yeah.
And then yourself from the movie.
Yeah.
And so out of that room, you were one of the top four people there who had the knowledge of Rocky Horror, okay, and had the experience of Rocky Horror, and you were narrating the time warp, and you just completely forgot to say jump to the left. And it was a beautiful moment, but there's a close-up shot of you, and you're just looking.
I think I was in awe. I think I was looking, thinking, isn't this fantastic?
But then you obviously heard the silence.
And then I came in.
I'm like, oh, shit, that's me. And you went, like, really fast. And then just started laughing, and we'd watch it all the time.
It was a great night, and you know what was so interesting? I actually saw the opening, the first night of Rocky Horror.
Did you?
At the theatre upstairs at the Royal Court. And it was one of the most wonderful nights of my career, because it was so out of this world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so different. We'd never seen anything like it. Tim Curry was extraordinary. Everybody was extraordinary. And the music and the lyrics, it was, we'd never seen anything like it. It was extraordinary.
Well, but I think even for new people now who saw the original Rocky Horror, not the, as in the original movie, not the remake, the recent remake.
Yeah.
I would imagine if you had no knowledge of it already, that will always happen.
Yeah.
So when even now, if somebody's never seen it and watched it now, they will have that experience.
I know. And of course, doing the stage show, which I love doing, playing the narrator, was, and I remember the lines eventually.
Yeah, yeah.
And I
every night.
Not every night. Actually, I'll tell you a funny story. We were in Cambridge, and there was an armchair.
Okay.
And I used to sit in the armchair, and I pretend to fall asleep. And one night, I did fall asleep, and I missed the last four lines of the show. And some of the regular fans thought I died.
Really?
Because nothing happened. I didn't come on. I didn't say the line. And the show closed. It was bizarre.
The narrator's last, because the narrator has the last four lines.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. And you missed them completely.
I missed them completely.
Oh, shit.
No one worked me out because they thought I was joking. Anyway, it's a great, great show. And Richard O'Brien is, when we made the film, it was a flop. We all went to the premiere, and it was so... Everyone came out so depressed. And it was only when it went to America
did
things start to liven up, because because then they introduce all the throwing of the rice and water. And
but it took a long time. It was like if it was a TV show, it would have been axed.
Yeah, it would have been. And you're absolutely right.
So were there reviews when it came out? Were they
terrible?
Really
terrible reviews. I mean, they just didn't get it at all. And of course, now it's such a cult film, and I think it's made an enormous amount of money.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, because I think one of the most successful British films. Yeah, of course.
Internationally tour. I didn't realise you said there'd been a recent remake. I didn't know that. What is this? Is it a film?
No, it was a TV thing, wasn't it? A TV film?
It was still a film, but it was for TV.
And they thought they'd make a lot more money, you see. That's this. The thing is that what's so terrible nowadays is everyone thinks they're going to make money.
Yeah.
And that's why they do these revivals of shows, which they should never do. Where's all the, you know, the original stuff? That's what we want to see.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've always championed the idea of revisiting Rocky Horror, not as a film, but I think the idea of what they did was kind of sound. It was the execution that was the issue. So I think that, and the changes that were made within it, so that I think there are certain things where you go, well, look, I understand that's not, you know, how things are now, how we view things, whatever, you know, blah, 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 blah. However, this is the source material, and the source material says this. So if you rewrite that source material, you start toying with the magic of it. You start, you know, change stuff. You don't do it at all, but don't rewrite something to change it. And I think the idea of Rocky, like, haven't I said loads of times, because I've always wanted to play Frankenfurter, that there is a...
We have talked about it a lot on the show, there is an
argument, and a sound argument, for Frank to be very unattractive.
Oh, God, I couldn't agree more.
I've always thought, I could do that as a little fat, boisterous fucker.
Yeah.
Who's not, rather than a beautiful man,
because
that always felt a bit wrong to me, because it was like, but we're talking about him making the definition of beauty.
I think that's a very good idea, actually. I mean, it's you know, but certainly I think,
can I put some money in and I'll do it?
Yeah, alright.
will you narrate this version?
Will you be the narrator?
Just carry me through. No, I mean, I think that what is so interesting too doing the stage show is that everybody dresses up, and that is wonderful, and you see women with tits out to here.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm really, my hands are really big, aren't they? They can eat their dinner on their tits, because they're in this costumes which are so tight, pushing everything up and out.
Yeah,
I mean, it is wonderful. And you see men in little gold or silver swimsuits trying to be Rocky, and you know, it's hysterical. And so they're far too old and far too fat, but it's wonderful.
People
really love dressing up.
Right. See, I never did that.
You never did dress up.
I'm
never
got,
you never. Should dress up as Frankenfurter.
That was never my. I played Eddie in a stage show once.
Did you?
But only Eddie, because I directed it as well. And I didn't want to play Dr. Scott as well, because I was directing it. But I was like, I will come on and do that song, and then that's me done now, direct the rest of it. But no, that wasn't what it was for me. And it wasn't. It worked metaphorically for me, so it wasn't even a sexual thing. It wasn't a thing of, because I've never been inhibited sexually at all. It was always the idea of, like, just fucking do it.
Yeah.
Like, about anything, just do it. If it's okay to do it, then do it.
Yeah, no, I agree, and go for it in a big way. Which sadly, a lot of people don't do. I mean, I'm really sad that I don't think we're breeding the eccentrics that we had 30, 40, 50 years ago.
That's because eccentrics will say something that will now ruin their career.
Well, that is very true.
That's what the problem is. So the reason we don't have eccentrics...
That is very true. I hadn't thought about that.
It's totally that. Eccentrics will say the things that will now be, you know, bees to honey on Twitter.
Absolutely.
And it will destroy them forever. They won't be able to come back. So that's why.
I mean, I never...
Unless they're a politician.
Yes. Well, even then, I don't think they're saved.
How's Boris Johnson still breathing?
I just don't know.
So, but
I mean, it's fascinating.
They're Teflon.
Yeah. What we should do is we should get rid of all the political parties.
Right.
Seriously, get rid of all of them and all the people in them, and get two new parties, which means something to us nowadays.
Yeah. Okay.
Because actually, I don't think any of the parties mean anything to anybody.
Okay.
And I think there's so much infighting going on. Everyone wants to be prime minister for something. Why don't we just have a prime minister then, and not bother with anyone else?
No. Do you think so? And honestly, I don't know, because I don't want to fall out here, but I don't. But you were a big Thatcher fan, right?
Very big Thatcher fan.
Now, do you not think that Thatcher started that? Do you not think that started with... everyone now is a Thatcher clone.
Yeah, you're right.
So she was the start of that. So
certainly.
And she was the one certainly who championed, you know, fucking look after yourself.
Yeah.
You know, that was a very conservative value.
I know.
Which is bizarre because I couldn't be further from conservative. But I agree with that in principle. Yeah. And I'm actually going, make sure you're all right and you do stuff. But not what I don't, where it falls down for me is not with your foot on someone else's neck.
No. Well,
that's the issue. But that was certainly a factor.
I mean, I'm very much a conservative to the left anyway.
Okay,
I mean, yeah, I really yeah. want. I mean, I can't bear the fact that we've got people living on the street.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, you know, I thank Maggie Thatcher for telling me, not personally, but to go and buy a house.
Right, okay. Yeah,
because
yeah,
that
yeah.
was something that, you know, and I've suffered with 30 years of a terrible mortgage.
Yeah, yeah.
But now it's all paid off and I do have a house and we're going to move. And I want, because I want to be lateral, as I'm getting older, I want a flat. So, and then you look it round at what people, where people
you're not,
live.
You're not old enough to go into a flat yet.
Yeah, I'm
70 this year.
Also, what do you mean? I live in a flat.
But for an old man, you don't get moved into a flat.
What kind of flat?
Well,
like in a home?
No.
What do you mean?
I want a gorgeous flat
something
on the river.
Something with no steps.
With no steps. Exactly. I don't want fucking steps.
You don't want one of those steps.
No, I wouldn't want a stair lift. No, I couldn't bear that.
Exactly. Just a nice flat.
Just a nice flat on one level.
Fine.
Forgive me for interrupting, Carol, what you were saying. I ruined your train of thought.
No, not at all. I mean, I just think that, so I have to thank her for that. But, you know, there are, and I have to say, I was such a conservative that when she was got rid of, I was in Marylebone High Road, and I burst into tears driving the car.
Really? Okay.
I was so upset. But now I realise that she'd gone too far, like all
well,
of
I'm
them.
From a mining town, so I...
Well,
I,
of course,
I mean,
you
I'm,
hate
I'm
her.
Always, yeah, absolutely.
Because
yeah,
what she did was terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and there's so many politicians do so... I mean, Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's... But mind you, he's done some great things.
Struggling.
He's doing a lot. Well, the economy is very good
but
over there.
Go. So that's the interesting thing. So, and I've always... I'm a big admirer of yourself, by the way. I genuinely am. And that sprang originally from Jungle. No. Way, way back.
Oh, on Safari.
On Safari.
Sigurdi.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a children's programme idea.
And also...
This young girl is looking bemused here.
She's 50. And also...
That's why I'm in my retirement flat. In the flat.
Weren't you on the adventure game quite a lot as well? I seem to recall you being on the adventure game. Do you even remember that?
What was the adventure game?
It was like a CGI thing, but it had sets, but at the end you had to walk across the vortex and you couldn't see where you were going. And they had a plant that wobbled and went...
I did do something.
I'm sure you're on the adventure game on that.
Yeah, I forget. You know, I read my... whenever I do a show, they ask for a new biog. And I look at it and I think, fucking hell, I've done a lot.
Yeah.
Well,
it's been amazing. I've been around a lot.
I was mentioning to you that, because weirdly, somebody had put a clip on Twitter yesterday saying they should have stopped TV after this, and it was you on Cluedo, and Richard Madeley presenting it.
Oh, God.
And you were the vicar.
That's right.
I want to watch that show again, because
I
forgot about it.
Actually, it was fantastic. I must say a very funny story, because Richard Madeley, who, you know, is divine, very clever, and he had everything on autocue.
Mm.
So we had done all our scenes beforehand, but we had to sit in the studio, and then if we were chosen by the audience as the person, the murderer,
okay,
or whatever we'd done, we then had to do a huge monologue.
Right.
Yeah.
So we all said, can't we have these monologues on autocue?
Yeah.
Like Richard.
Yeah.
No, you can't. So we sat there, six of us, petrified, shitting ourselves. I tell you, it was the most horrific job. But we did. When you got through it, you thought, "Oh fuck!" Right. I mean, but it was.
Good. You did the monologue. In this particular clip, you were the murderer, and you'd killed. Who I don't think he was famous at the time, but a young Neil Morrissey.
So
that was nice.
And it was amazing. But I can remember the fear we all had.
Mm.
It was terrifying. I mean, I know I've got to the stage where I can't learn. I get so petrified that I don't want to learn lines anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm loving it that I've got autocue now to speak to you two.
But you keep going off it. This is where we're struggling. You keep going, let me tell you a story. It's like, no, that's not on there.
That's not on the list.
Access All Areas with Joanna Shimonides and Stephen Lang on FUBAR Radio.
We have Montana Brown waiting to come in.
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, doll. How are you?
Not too bad. We're all right, aren't we, Stephen? We're all good.
Yeah, we're doing good. You're looking absolutely stunning right now, Montana.
Oh, my God. Thank you. I just whipped on a bit of mascara, you know. So I'm glad you noticed.
I love it.
You too.
Big question I have for you right now is, how is your back? So, obviously, you messaged to me today that you have hurt your back from working out. Have you got it sorted?
Do you know what? Like, this is why I don't do exercise. Like, before lockdown, I was like, nah, like, I'm not really on the whole fitness hype. Like, I'm giving it a rest for 2 months. I can't really be arsed. And then I was like, do you know what? I'm really finding my feet with this fitness thing. I was like skipping and I've been gymming. And then I started to do some weights and my back's just gone. I was like, great. Well, this is a sign for me that I just shouldn't get back into the gym. So I'm going to take that and I'm going to eat my cake and I don't care.
You've got to do what you want at the moment. I think this is the whole lockdown situation we've been saying with some of our other guests. You've got to do exactly what you're comfortable with. And if that's eating all the cake, then do it.
It's actually not enjoyable, though, because I've been doing this cleanse. So I've, like, cut out sugar, cut out all of these things. And I'm not even joking. I've had the worst headaches.
Yes. So this will happen with me. So obviously we were talking about it as well. The fact that I've cut out all sugar. I've cut out all sugar. All sugar and yeast and stuff. And literally, like, I had headaches. I, like, felt like I had no energy. I'd wake up and be dizzy. So I get it. I think your body goes into a sudden shock. But then it is actually good, apparently, to shock your body. So see, the headache is a very positive thing, Montana.
But I'm really missing sugar. Like, I didn't realise just how much I was... not reliant on it, but I mean, I love Haribo's, I love a bit of cheeky jelly bean, and now I'm like, oh god, like, what am I gonna do? Like, and what's really hard is that people keep messaging me, like, how's the cleanse going, how's the no sugar? And I'm like, I really can't actually lie and say
this,
you know,
is any good.
Like, yeah, literally, I'm like, it's amazing. Like, yeah, but I guess it is good for the body. I mean, I think I need to definitely work on how much sugar I eat, because sugar, it's not good.
Tastes delicious. That's the problem.
That's the only thing. It tastes better. Like, all my friends eat so much salad, and I'm like, it tastes like shite.
Yeah. Even like a cup of tea, like, you've got to have the sugars in it. But I've had to cut out all sugars, but I've actually been a bit sneaky and I've, like, wet the spoon and dabbed it on the sugar and I'm like, okay, this
Joanna,
is it.
What the fuck?
This is enough.
Yeah, these are some techniques. Jeez, I mean, Christ almighty. So how has the whole situation in lockdown been treating you, Montana?
So I think at the start of lockdown, I was hating it. I really was. I was bored. I was a bit lost. And I think because I was kind of coming out of, like, some quite bad anxiety, and I'm quite a social person. I love, like, having the freedom to go to my friends. I love, like, driving to my friends in London and kind of being able to do what I want. And I'm a very independent person. And then to suddenly be told that you've got to stay in one place and in one household, it was a lot. And at the start, I wasn't really exercising. My anxiety was bad. So I was finding it hard to eat a lot of food. And I was kind of, like, missing that structure in my day of, like, being busy, busy, busy. I mean, Joe, you'll know what it's like. Everything's last minute, you know, so fast paced, events every evening pretty much. And then suddenly to go to a halt, you're like, oh my God, like, what do I do now? Mm. Yeah, it was really odd. And then I think maybe since, like, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I've really, like, given myself a structure, which is something that I've never really done, because there's no point really. Especially when we're up and running, there's no point in even trying to have some sort of schedule or routine, because it will get shat on by whoever when they're like, yeah, sorry, can you come to this event in 5 minutes? Oh, yeah, sure.
Montana, when you just said shat on, it just reminded me on your Instagram when you literally got shat on by a bee.
By a bee?
I'm not even joking you. I was having a conversation and someone went, oh my God, I was like, why did that someone just squirt a bit of mustard on my leg? I was like, initially, I thought someone had thrown something at me, so I was looking behind me like, what the fuck? I was like, what's happened? And then I was like, right, okay, I'm over that. Don't know what the hell that was, but all right, cool. Anyway, I'm sat there, like, my friend's gone, like, to do a work call, I'm sunbathing, and then an actual bird shat on me, like, almost literally nearly the same place, and I thought, why is this my life? Like, why is this happening? Like, I feel like I get so many signs from the universe to, like, don't go out and sunbathe, don't get a tan. Like, it's ridiculous.
It's supposed to be good luck. supposed to be good luck getting shit on by a bird.
What, a bird? Not quite sure about a bee. I've never heard about a bee. But how did you find out that a bee, it was a bee that shat on you?
Well, initially I put it on my story. You saw it. And I was like, guys, what the fuck is this? Like, what is this? I don't know what it is, but it's just fallen on me. I was like, oh, it's a bumblebee poo. Don't worry, it's a bumblebee poo. And I thought, how on earth have you guys...
That's not
general knowledge. It's all the quizzes that everyone's been doing these days. That's why everyone knows it.
I'm like, wowza.
Bloody weirdos.
Yeah, that is a bit weird. Jeez.
That is so flipping funny. I just can't do it. That makes me cry. That situation makes me cry. But we can see it as a double good luck. Shit.
I mean, yeah. I bloody hope so. I actually really do hope so. I've got some good luck coming.
Well, so you said, yeah, so you said the beginning was hard, but so you've got more used to it now then, have you, in lockdown?
Yeah, I think it's like in the last 2 or 3 weeks, I've really learned to enjoy it. Like, I've been getting up earlier. I mean, beforehand, I was getting up at about 10. And then I'd, you know, mooch around, have my breakfast, maybe do some exercise. And then before it was midday. I was like, I haven't done anything. I'm like, I've got nothing to show for my day. I'd be like, morning, guys, on my story. I'd be like, actually, it's midday. It's 1 o'clock. So I was like, I need to get myself out of this. And then as soon as I've been getting up at 8. I've normally been gymming at 8:30, working out early in the morning. And then by 10 o'clock, I've like gymmed. I've had my first like breakfast. And then I'm eating again at like 10:30, 11. Because like my aim is to try and put some weight on at the minute. So it's been I've really enjoyed it the past 2 or 3 weeks. And that's something that I never thought I would say, because I hate being restricted. I just love socializing, being a social butterfly, going around seeing all my friends. So, but I tell you what, I have actually enjoyed it, which I never thought I'd see the day.
I think that's actually a lot of the way that most people are feeling now. You kind of go through, once you're through the boredom and you found your pattern, like I'm kind of fine with it now. Carry on.
I'm getting worse.
I go on holidays. I just want to go on a holiday eventually. That's the only thing.
That's what I'm craving, a holiday. I keep dreaming of holidays and being like, oh, should I book something? Or should I not? Or do I risk it? Or do I not?
Yeah, I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait until it's that point when they go, you're allowed to. I'm like, right, let's get started. Let's do this. And we've got a nice little trip, LA, in our minds. We're going to go to LA, we are.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
We are. Me and Joe have just been voice noting each other, like, how single as fuck we both are. Just like, this is really great for the ego. You're just being all alone and, like, no attention.
But so you would think, I mean, so you were on Love Island, what, 3 years ago now?
Yeah, 3 years
like,
ago.
You would think that it would be a constant stream of men batting down your door. But for both of you, it's not really necessarily like that all the time.
No, I think it's so. You do get boys talking to you, but they're just like, they're just so odd. Honestly, I feel like they've got issues. Like, this boy, right? I was like, oh, you know, he's attractive. I'll match him on whatever. So I match him, jab, snap. No, I don't have snap. I don't want your... What? Do you have snap? I was like, are you taking the biz?
This is the thing. And when they say, like, hello, dear, who's his dear? We're not 50, 60, 70. Sorry if I'm offending anyone who's watching this, but, like, we're not 50, 60, 70. Hello, dear. Or, hey, how are you? I don't know you. Well, I'm fine. I'm okay, okay? I just find it weird. Like, I don't... You know, my previous boyfriends I met on social media anyway, on Instagram, but... I just don't know if I can do it again. I'm cringed out now.
I want the meet cute, and I want it now. I want to drop my keys, and I want a nice, handsome, over 6 foot, handsome man to pick them up for me and ask me on a date.
See, girls and their height issues.
You think after two shits on my leg that would have happened by now, but absolutely hasn't.
Yet to come.
What are you making of the lack of Love Island this summer? I guess it probably makes sense. It's not something that can happen, right? And are you going to miss it?
I'm going to really miss it. I'm honestly kind of a bit gutted, but I think they need to send me and Joe back on because neither of us have found love.
Absolutely. I think, I've always said this, I think they should get all previous Love Islanders who haven't yet got a partner, us two, and they should put us on it and just like see how we get on, because I am one of the people, I'm up for it. If I've done that again, I reckon I would maybe like embrace it a bit more and be like, this could be my husband. Do you know what I mean?
100%. I completely agree. I think I was more in it for the experience last time. Yes. I wasn't quite...
Now you want a husband.
No, I want one now. I'm like, where's my rock on my finger?
that's really attractive to a man as well. I'm sure that would go down really well.
I have heard the best way to get a ring is by threatening them. I have heard
that. Yes, that was on TikTok, wasn't it?
Filmish with Sean Walsh and Mark Simmons.
Okay, now it's time for Hateful Free with Will Attenborough. Hello, Will.
Hello, guys.
Hello.
How's it going?
Yeah, very well, thanks. How are you?
Not too bad.
You sound pretty chilled out, Will.
Yeah.
I'm having a nice day off.
What are you doing? Well, what are you having a day off from?
That's a very good question. trying to pay the rent, all that kind of stuff.
Okay, cool. So you played second lieutenant in Dunkirk.
You got it.
Right. When it gets nominated, which has been nominated for Best Director, Best Film, does that excite you, or do you just not care because you didn't get nominated?
No, I know. I know. My friend said that to me the other day. She was like, you're an Oscar-nominated thing. And I was sort of like, yeah, sort of. I was like, I'm there. And sort of like, you see my face somewhere in it.
But it's still exciting. That is exciting.
Yeah, it's like a historic thing.
What did you do in it, Will? What was your character doing?
I told them to get off a boat.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's great. Go on, can you do it for us now?
Have you ever had to do this before? This is not the sort of thing.
Okay, it could be your catchphrase, mate.
Yeah. Okay, it was, get off the ship.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
You weren't
nominated.
I thought I was on the beach. That was phenomenal.
I just got off the ship, but I haven't got shit.
Amazing. So, by the way, Mark wanted to ask you something. This is Mark always has a question that is a bit different, not when you come on the show for. Go on, Mark.
So you're related to David Attenborough, right?
I am, yeah.
Do you know loads about animals? Is there something, or is it like, have you rebelled against it and gone, I don't care about these animals?
Yeah, fuck them.
Don't do that.
I don't know. I sort of know. I just know like an average amount, I suppose.
Do you watch?
Mainly from him, I suppose.
Watching the thing. He's not going on about it. If you're ever around him, he's not banging on about animals.
It is a question about him, if that's all right.
Oh, yeah.
Is he a vegetarian?
No.
I've always thought that!
Yeah,
sorry, Will, I got a bit overexcited there. I have always thought that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. So he's not?
I asked him that, and he said there is a biological... He's like, if you're thinking about morality, there's a biological morality in that we are sort of evolutionarily programmed to eat other animals. So he didn't seem too bothered by it.
I suppose he said that animals eat other animals all the time, so
yeah.
Why not join in?
get in there with the lion. Yeah. Finish off the zebra. Cheers, mate. Nice having dinner with you. Anyway, well, you're not here to discuss that. You're here to give us the three films you hate the most.
Yeah, okay.
Do you have to be careful as an actor here, because you think, oh, I don't want to slag off that film because I might end up working with him?
I was genuinely thinking that.
Yeah.
They weren't... The odds of the person listening are low, aren't they?
Hang on, mate.
Chill out.
What is going on
Dunkirk? If anything, we said we like Dunkirk.
Exactly. I'm not slagging off the hollow crown. Come on, mate. Behave. What is going on?
What's that?
It's a show you was in.
I know.
All right.
I was slagging it off.
Okay, very good.
A really slam person. They won't hear this, will they? Because your producer said that last week someone was having a Ricky Gervais and, like, if he happened to be listening, that'd be awful, but...
Oh, yeah, no, that was a comedian, yeah.
That's right.
A comedian properly... but that was really... No, he went into Ricky Gervais in particular. Not, like, his work. He actually said... According to the comedian, Tom Lucy said that Ricky Gervais was shit, wasn't funny, and needed Stephen Merchant. So, that's Tom Lucy's words. Right, go. So, three films. You don't have to be too hard.
I hate The Sound of Music.
That's so weird!
It's so nauseating.
Does someone else have that?
That's what Georgie said last week.
Yeah, it was.
Has that been said before?
It was said literally last week. Georgie Henley.
Yeah.
Who was in Chronicles of Narnia. That was one of hers.
And then she changed it to another one because the other one had a pedo in it.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. The more paedophilic.
Yeah, so she changed it.
That's very paedophilic.
So do you prefer the pedo one?
Oh god. Yeah, alright.
That may be the next one you say.
So why the sound of music?
It's so boring, and it's one of those things that that everyone's like, it's always on those lists of like the greatest films ever made, and you've got to watch every Christmas, or always on. It's just like these irritating children. That scene where they're like singing and they're leaving the party and they're going to bed, it's just like, it just reminds me of like every parent who's like wants to show you a video of their kids doing something so shit and average.
Do you find it cringy?
And it's just like, yeah, so cringy.
Do you like musicals? Yeah. Do you dislike musicals in general?
No, I like Hamilton and Cabaret. And,
oh, Hamilton. And didn't know you were so bloody cool. God, oh, my God. Here he is, Will Attenborough. Bloody cool. That's Hamilton. Here he is. I've actually seen Hamilton. Did you see it in London or did you see it on Broadway?
No, London. London.
No, that's still hip. Don't worry. Were you blown away by it?
Isn't it great? Yeah. I actually have a bootleg version of the Broadway.
Wow. That's pretty cool. I've had to listen to... I can't remember any of the characters' names. I saw them weeks ago. You know the guy who's got a sort of... There's an actor who's got a sort of speech impediment. There's something not wrong with his voice, but do you know what I mean?
No, you don't.
There was a shorter black actor, and he has sort of a lisp.
Okay.
I think you're just saying that to make this less awkward, but thank you very much. But basically, I actually tweeted him because he blew my mind, and he is definitely—he's got a better voice than the Broadway guy because I've listened to the Broadway guy, and he doesn't have the lisp.
Yeah.
And I prefer it with the lisp.
Wait, he has a lisp because of the first half he plays a French guy.
Oh no, are you joking?
A French it's a French accent.
I thought that was his voice. And I thought that is brilliant that a bloke with a speech impediment is singing that well. Good on him. Oh no!
That's funny.
I've even tweeted him! Well, luckily I didn't say, well done.
Because
of the speech impediment. Oh. Okay, alright, anyway. Yeah. Moving swiftly on. Your second hateful film.
Kingsman.
Oh, the first one.
Kingsman?
Mate, I thought that was rubbish.
I liked it.
Oh, God.
It's rubbish.
That was who I was scared of taking off a little bit.
I can understand that.
Born,
yeah, and you're pro... Yeah, all right, yeah. Yeah. You are. Don't worry, we've got a very trustful listenership here. You don't have to worry. Trustful, that's
which
the word.
Which includes him.
Yes.
I think he's the worst. Like, I think he's like a... Because I went to an all-boys school, and there's like a really... You know, like that sort of when you're like teenage boys, and there's just that atmosphere of like, you're like weird if you're not talking about like... like fucking girls and like, I don't know, just being laddie and all that kind of shit. That film was just like, it's just like you're still stuck in that mindset.
Right. Yeah. I see.
Have you seen the ending of that when the girl says,
that's
that
my favourite bit, mate.
The world, he can fuck her up the arse. That's your favourite bit.
I mean,
I was joking, but I didn't mind it.
I can speak for Mark. I bet that was his favourite. That was genuinely probably his favourite.
I remember thinking it was from left field.
I remember not knowing like what the film was. Like he didn't know what it was. Was it sort of like a family entertainment funny film that's sort of like taking like a bit like Johnny English? And then there were bits like where it was trying to be like Nil by Mouth with Ray Winston, and I was like, what am I watching? Am I meant to be laughing or finding this really difficult? I didn't know. I do have a friend, a comedian friend that I won't mention, and he went to an all-boys school, and he said that, like, he was talking about the sort of things that would happen to him. And obviously, you don't have to... you've already started laughing. But, like, he once woke up, and, loads of the boys had stood round him and masturbated on his body.
What?
Yeah. I'll tell you who that was after the show. But, yeah.
That's actually quite sexy.
Was it... You don't have to give us any specifics. Was being in an all-boys school like that?
I didn't go to a boarding school, so there was less.
Ah! So you weren't asleep. Yeah, yeah. Okay, I get it. You were awake when it happened. I see.
There's a lot of groping under tables.
Yes. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, this is normal, Mark.
Well, it's not groping.
Yeah.
That's not even like a practical joke, though.
What do you mean?
Yeah, it's sort of... Well, you couch it and, like you're playing chicken or something. Like, ooh, like I'm going to, like...
getting close to your cock or whatever, and you're sort of joking, but it's like,
oh
quite
my
fun.
Goodness.
Like, wow. It sounds like you should be starting a movement, mate. Right, okay. So, you'll give us your last film. So we've got Kingsman and Sound of Music, and the third one is going to be...
It's really hard to decide. I had three to choose between, so I have to just tell you one.
Well, you can... To be honest, it doesn't really matter.
Rattle through them?
Yeah. Save them all, then. Choose.
Okay, The Phantom Menace...
Oh, yeah.
Everyone hates that.
Yeah, sure.
But the reason I thought of that recently is because... do you remember the Trade Federation?
Yeah.
They are a horrible, racist...
Oh yeah,
version of Chinese people.
Yes,
yeah.
And I've just finished the book How Star Wars Changed the Universe because I'm a loser, so I know what you're talking about. And that's the sort of general consensus is that The Phantom Menace, as a whole, is quite a racist film.
Yeah. There's all this stuff about the Tired Federation,
yes.
It's like, oh my god, who is saying this is all right?
Awful film.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Awful film. The Queen, I just can't abide anything about the royals. It's just it's just so many films and TV shows about them deciding in moments of great sort of national tension to do nothing. Because of course that's all they do. But it's why are we watching a film about that? It's so boring.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't think that was meant to be an incredible film. Yeah, The Queen, Phantom Menace, The Queen.
And Love Actually.
Oh no!
Oh
no! What are you doing? What are you on about? How? Why? I mean, I know it's ridiculous, but go on.
Well, the bit where he's like, the airport. Like, where you see people falling in love. It's just what the fuck are you talking about? That's you see sweaty people, upset with their families and just... hating.
No one's hugging. Most people are rolling their eyes because they've got to chuck away their bottle of water. Oh, forgot again. Unbelievable. Yeah, you're right.
Some Nonsense with Ray Peacock on FUBAR Radio.
Got into you, Romesh, now, aren't we?
Well, we had an email in from someone called Tim.
Tim, oh yeah. Tim at hotmail.com.
Hello, Ray and Fitbat.
That's you.
I don't like it. I won't be listening live as I'm at work.
Oh, but thanks for letting us know, mate.
I'm really curious. Is Romesh always like that? You know what I mean. Thanks, Tim.
Sorry. Amazing. Yeah. I mean, that's the sort of email I would have expected after I've interviewed Romesh.
Yeah, not before.
Not preempting
it. Can I tell you that came in at 11:03 this morning?
Romesh, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What does he mean by that?
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. How are you?
I'm all right. I don't know, mate. Maybe you could throw some light on that. What does he mean by that? Are you always like that?
I don't know. If he means, just a nice dude, then yes, correct, I am always like this. I don't know what you're getting at.
I think it felt more accusatory than that.
It did feel a bit accusatory, but...
I can't help you with that, man. I don't know what he meant at all by that.
I mean, what time's your show start?
It's on now, mate. This is live.
One.
No. You haven't just started, though, have you?
No, 1 o'clock,
mate.
Wouldn't have put you
and
on
first. And this guy sent the email at 11 o'clock. I mean, he needs other things going on in his life, doesn't he? Do you know what I mean? What's he doing? Was he emailing at 11 o'clock? Is Romesh always like that?
Right.
I don't know what he's on about.
Maybe you are answering
the
question.
Things going on at home, mate. Do you know what I mean? Maybe then you'll have other things to think about. Yeah.
Maybe this is what he means, Romesh.
What do you mean?
See you again. Look, I'm happy.
What are you signing for?
I wasn't signing. I didn't sign at all. I'm happy to have just a nice chat with you.
You're not. That's the thing. You're not, because already I got a tweet from you this morning going, I'm in the mood and now I've got Romesh on.
Well, hang on.
I don't have to do this.
No, I know you don't have to do it, mate. I know you don't have to do it. But what I'm saying is, and we're very grateful. Is that what you want?
No, it's not what I want, but it's just that you're sort of...
We're very grateful.
You're attacking straight away. First of all, I'm not happy that email got read out just before you bring me on.
But it wasn't... That wasn't
Let's
done...
Let's get that out of the way.
Well, that's a producer problem. Okay, well, hang on. Nat, shut the fuck up, Nat.
No, I won't.
You do not read emails like
you
that out before a guest
it.
Is on. It's very fucking rude. Is that all right, not? Is that all right, Romesh?
Well, I don't think you should have spoken to her like
Thank
that,
you.
But yeah.
How do I... What do I do? What do I do here? What should
well,
I say?
I just think... Well, I think something along the lines of, nah, that email sort of puts Romesh in a negative light.
Right, you speak
maybe
to her. She's here, speak to
now,
her.
I would agree with you that. And when I said when the song was on, what should I do with the email? You went and read it out. So I did.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Of course it's not you, Nat.
Exactly.
Of course it's
exactly.
Of course they want it read
thank
out.
Thank you.
Of course they want it read out. That's the kind of twat this guy is. And, right. You know, and then I heard before I've just come on, I'm not in the mood. Listen, mate, you need to be in the mood.
Not
you're
for
a
you.
Professional.
No, it's not that I'm not in the mood for you. I'm not. Right.
Well, you know,
mate, my windscreen got smashed yesterday. Oh, that just made me a bit sad. Is that all right? Not all of us can afford to just buy as many windscreens as we want.
Yeah, oh, mate, do you know what? Right now, it's difficult for me to talk to you because I'm just surrounded by windscreens.
Yeah,
it's difficult for me.
Not all of us, mate. I mean, straight away. I know it's very important that you're there with Jonathan Ross when you do that show. But your old friends, people that you know coming up, people that gave you opportunities and were supportive of you, oh, no, heaven forbid you should be in the studio with them.
Hold on a minute.
Do it down the phone.
Supportive. When I was doing my first Edinburgh show, mate, you brought me into a podcast for basically a character assassination.
Not true.
What happened there?
Simply not true. But I listened back to that the other day. Simply not true. Do you know what, Ramesh? If anything, right, I'm going to speak.
Hold on a minute. Go back to Africa with your head held high.
Right, wait.
I'm quoting you there.
And you are quoting me out of context. Out of context.
Give me the context that makes that okay. Give me the context.
Right, what I was saying was you should be proud of your Edinburgh show, right? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with what I said? Right, you've just quoted that out of context. So I was
saying, you've done your first Edinburgh show, and
you should be proud of that, so you can go back to your home country. And
let's give it the context you want. Ramesh, you should be really proud of your Edinburgh show. Off you go back to Africa with your head held high. Is that better? That's in context.
Yes.
You think that sounds okay?
That's absolutely fine.
Right, okay.
And also, by the way, you're doing all right for yourself, mate. This is like Russell Kane remembering Chortle reviews from 10 years ago. Just calm. Just relax. Just let it go, mate, if it upset you. You're better than me now. You've moved way ahead of me.
I'm not better than you.
You're meeting the mayor of Crawley this afternoon. I can't compete with that.
That is correct. That's correct.
We have had to move your interview forward on this show.
Yeah.
Because you're meeting the mayor of Crawley. Now.
Correct, yeah.
Justify that to me, Ramesh.
What do you mean, justify it?
Why on earth are you meeting the mayor of Crawley?
She'd had all the boxes apart from one ticked off.
But which box, Ramesh? You've got a lot of them.
Well, she needed lazy eye and brown.
Check and check.
And I have just given her a double tick.
But imagine if the third box says, I'm really cheery as well. And they just haven't got to that point. I think you slope in.
I had to find someone else. Let's
drop characters for a minute.
Okay. I wasn't. No, you weren't, but I was.
Excuse me. To put this into context, what happened a few years ago is me and Ed Gamble interviewed Ramesh for our podcast, the Peacock Gamble podcast. And it was, without a doubt, like, for me, the best podcast we ever did, bar none. Like, it was, it came out amazing. I was so happy with it. We were going to submit it for the Sony Awards.
Right.
We genuinely were.
And what happened?
Well, we just thought they might not see the joke.
weren't you a bit worried about putting it out?
Because, totally.
Because I still get. Basically, we sort of had a bit of an argument. It got a bit edgy, didn't it?
Yeah, totally.
And I still get people asking me why I lost it on your podcast.
Well, we've had mails today that we haven't read out saying I'm surprised Ramesh is doing this after what happened on the podcast.
Right.
And
well, thank you. I noticed you didn't read any of those emails of support, did you? You just read that you picked out one, and the one you picked out.
Oh, so all right, fine. Runner. Back in character.
What?
Back
right.
in character.
I'm not in character.
No, but you know
I'm
what I mean,
character.
Man. No, but it's that thing. If a character
is pointing out injustice,
just
then
look,
yes, I'm a character.
Just put both your eyes looking in the right direction. Get out of character for a minute.
My God.
But it was near the knuckle, that podcast. It was. But we were all playing the same game. And it was...
Yeah, correct.
I still think it's... I honestly, genuinely, stand by it. I think it's the funniest thing we ever did. I think it's the one thing I can put on and definitely laugh every time I hear it. I think it's amazing. I think it's really, really funny from all three people concerned. Just really, really funny. But it is bizarre. I thought it was ridiculous enough. And we all did. We all thought it was ridiculous enough that people would just get it. They would just get what's happening.
Yeah, I know. And but it didn't happen like that, did it?
No, not... But, I mean... Overall, it happened like that, but there are still people who just took that at absolute face value. I mean, at the end of that podcast, I deliberately put in a bit, because we carried on recording after we'd finished, and I deliberately put in a bit where we were just chatting normally, just so people could hear that we had been sort of playing up to it and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And even that bit, it was...
I think there's a tipping point in things like this, and I think the tipping point was Africa with your head held. I think that was... And the most disgusting thing about that line, the most disgusting thing about that
is I didn't deliver it.
You were so
excited
as you were delivering it. You almost sort of fumbled it.
Because I did fumble it.
The glee in your eyes so when you were building up for that. Because you built up with like a really nice comment, and I thought, oh, do you know what? What a sweet man.
That's what was making it better. But that's what was making it better for me. When that was happening, because I was doing some... anyone that questions my ability as an actor should have seen that day. Because I was looking...
You seemed like such a nice dude.
I was making eye contact with you as best as I could.
Yeah.
You know, as best as is possible, and we were
unbelievable.
Stay home and chill, keeping you company during the corona.